I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 56. Because I'm on vacation, I went back into my sermon archive to see if there was something that I could use for this morning. Seeing as how I spend too much time in the pool, I don't have time at my desk. Just kidding. But I did go into my sermon archive, and I found a sermon from 20 years ago, just before we moved into this building. And the sermon title was, What to Do When You Are Afraid. And I thought, that's probably a good one for today. it was intended to be an encouragement when we were still over on Adelaide Street, and we were going to be moving into this building. And that brought a little bit of fear to us, because it was a big project. So this morning I would like to consider with you the topic of fear and how to deal with it. You don't have to look very far to understand and realize that our world is a pretty scary place these days. Audrey was just showing me some pictures of a camp that she went on a missions trip to help build a ramp and a porch. How many years ago was that? Five, six? Okay. And she brought back pictures to show a nice deck and a nice ramp. And today she brought in some pictures of the camp, and it was all burned up and bombed out. The Russians had bombed the camp with, three missiles, did it say? Three missiles, bombed the camp, ruined her deck and the ramp. So fortunately, no kids were there. They weren't using the camp this summer because it's really close to the Russian border. But we can look at the world around us and even read in the newspapers or online our news sources, and we find that this world can be a pretty scary place. Wars all over the place. Thank the Lord that we live in Canada. We don't have that same kind of war mentality or situation, the circumstances that other places like Europe and the Middle East have. That's one blessing that God has given to us. But we can see the wars all around us, protests going on and on in our own country for some from very terrible reasons and people. There's corruption all around us. The quote-unquote natural disasters. The volcanoes in Iceland are spewing their lava again. I read a report this past week that Mount Rainier in the western states, I think it's Oregon, they're expecting it to blow its top anytime soon. Apparently there's been numerous small earthquakes all around Mount Rainier, and scientists and the experts are looking for that thing to blow up shortly. And I think that's pretty close to Vancouver, where all of this is happening, so we can pray for Rose and George and the kids as well. We have floods. If you've been following what's going on down in Texas with that flooded river and so many lives lost, I read this week that they have recovered all of the bodies of the kids from the Christian camp down there now. I forget the number of how many died, but they have recovered all of their bodies, which we thank the Lord for. We got volcanoes, we got earthquakes going on all around the world. I don't know if you've seen maps of where the various plates are in the Earth's crust. There is one that's like a crescent. It runs up the west side of the states through Canada, Alaska, and then comes down Russia, Korea, Japan, down into the Philippines. That is a seismic calamity just ready to burst and to move things. There was recently a small underwater earthquake, and so they were worried about tsunamis hitting Alaska and whether they actually materialized or not, I'm not sure. But we see all of these troubles, and they can be fearful for people, especially if you're in the middle of one. But then there's also financial troubles, social problems, family problems. And as Bible believers, we acknowledge that we are in the last days, right? The Apostle Paul described the last days as perilous times, and we see that evident all around us. But the world that we live in now has not been the only fearful times in history. Let me give you one example before we move on. Consider the account of the children of Israel at the time of the Exodus. That would have been a pretty scary situation for them all to be involved in, especially when they got camped by the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was coming and bearing down upon them. They had mountains to the north, they had Pharaoh's army here, and then the sea in front of them. And the text says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, the people were sore afraid. Not just a little afraid. This was big time afraid for them. They were sore afraid. They were scared to death. And what did they do? They complained to Moses. They complained to Moses and basically said to him, see, we told you. We told you so. We should have stayed in Egypt and served the Egyptians because we're all going to die out here in this wilderness. And they complained. So Moses, if you remember the story at all, in trying to help his people, said to them, very simply, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Right? We know the expression, caught between a rock and a hard place. They were worse than that. They had, as we said, mountains to the north, Pharaoh's army to the west, and the sea to the east and to the south. They had no place to go. And Moses says, don't be afraid, fear not. And then he says to them, stand still. Good grief. Stand still. Here's a company of probably around 2 million people caught in this hard place, and Moses simply says, stand still. And then he explains, see the salvation of the Lord. So Moses recognized that they were in indeed a very scary place, but how in the world would he get them to not be afraid? Encourage them to keep their eyes fixed on the Lord, right? That's what he did. But God had other plans. And so the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Go forward, was the instructions of the Lord through Moses for the people. Go forward. Problem was, forward was the Red Sea. And I don't think they had time to build boats or rafts to get across. And so how are you going to go forward before Pharaoh comes down and slaughters them all? But by faith, people of Israel moved forward. And the sea parted, and they crossed over on dry ground. If you watch movies or little videos of Israel crossing over the Red Sea, and they're going through swampy, muddy areas, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it was dry ground that they went over, and that would be obviously much easier to travel on and to take carts across. And so God provided for them. But can you imagine what it must have been like to cross the Red Sea at that point with a wall of water on both sides of you? I don't know how tall the wall of water was, but imagine it was quite high. And so here are the Egyptians. They're afraid, the Israelites. They're afraid of the Egyptians, but maybe now they're afraid of walking through the sea because of all that water. It was a time of great fear for them. But by the grace of God and obedience to his word, move forward. The whole bunch of the Israelis, all 2 million of them, made it safely across to the other side, and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the river. There are many scary things all around us. I think we acknowledge that. Things that can come into our lives. Maybe not quite like the Israelites, maybe not quite what's going on in the other parts of the world, but there are still some fearful things that come into our lives, maybe some more fearful than others. And so we ask the question, how do we deal with that? What can we do when we are afraid? Fear, you know, is kind of like a double-edged sword. In some respects, fear is good. But in other respects, it can be bad, debilitating, and hindering. It all depends on the circumstances and our understanding and attitude about what's going on. A good kind of fear is that which is protective. It's honorable. It's respectful. It's healthy. What would some examples be of good fear? Well, remember when your kids were little, you warned them about a hot stove. Don't put your hand there. You'll get burned. And so give some fear to the kids not to to do that. Working carefully and thoughtfully in the electrical panel of your house. I hardly ever do that because it's too scary. How about when you're driving in your car and you see a police cruiser in your rear mirror? Does that cause a little bit of fear and stress and tension? Failure of an upcoming exam. There's fear in properly cooking your food, an ache or a pain, maybe even just crossing the street. And 20 years ago, for us, it was a fearful thing to be buying a new building. And looking forward to coming here to 932 Leithorn. So many things wherein a good, healthy fear will make one more careful and discerning. And I like to think of fear as that kind of a situation. You know that the Bible exhorts us to fear, and it also encourages us to not fear. So in order to keep them straight in our thinking, as you're reading through the Word of God, you must always pay attention to the context. That's right. The context will determine whether this is a good kind of fear or whether it's a bad fear that we should be aware of. Here's fear that is good is to fear the Lord, right? Fear the Lord. We're exhorted in Scriptures to fear the Lord. That's a good thing. This is to reverence and respect Him for who He is and His position in the universe. Our God is the Creator. He's the Sovereign. He's our Savior. The Lord Jesus is the one who is with us all times and promised never to leave nor forsake us. That is the one that we are to reverence and respect and to glorify. Here's a couple of examples for you of good fear. Psalm 33, verse 8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." If you remember our study on Hebrew poetry, Hebrew poetry is not built on rhyme and meter like we are accustomed to here, but it's built on repetition. In the verses. So you got two lines here. Let all the earth fear the Lord. And then the second line, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And so the second line gives some explanation or some further information on what is said in the first line. So we can understand then that to fear the Lord is to stand in awe of Him. Right? That's what our fear of the Lord should be, to stand in awe of who God is and all that He has accomplished. Psalm 34, verse 11 says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord can be taught. How do we teach that? Well, we go through circumstances in life, and we can encourage each other and help each other to acknowledge that maybe some of the things that God brings into our lives are intended to help us, to encourage us, to trust Him more, to recognize better who He is. And those things can be taught as we go through life and these experiences. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so we would, again, looking at the parallelism of the Hebrew poetry, we could understand that the fear of the Lord is to acknowledge that He is the Holy One, right? It's got the definite article in front of holy, the holy. That's a reference to who our God is, and we need to reverence and respect Him. On into the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Right? So as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this mandate upon our lives to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that is to wash it away, stay away from all of that, the stuff of the flesh, of the world, of sin, and Satan. Cleanse yourself from all of that, basically by removing yourself from any of those situations. Don't be involved in the things of the world, and don't let your spirit be kind of enamored with what goes on in the world, but rather perfect holiness in the fear of God in our lives, because we know how much the Lord loves holiness in the lives of His children. And then one more, 1 Peter 2, verse 17, Peter's instructing those to whom he is writing and says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Right, so four areas of things that we need to accomplish in our lives to keep on track, these four principles for life and living. One of them is to fear God. And I trust that we can do so. Sometimes in the scriptures, we are exhorted to fear. That is, to be afraid. Be afraid. As in, here's a couple of examples. Matthew 10:28 probably is very familiar to you. Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So don't be afraid of mankind who can only kill the body. What you need to be is afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and spirit in body in hell. And that, of course, is the Lord God. The scripture says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith." So if you remember Noah's story in Genesis 6, God said, it's over for this world. You know, it's just every thought of their mind is evil, and there's iniquity, and there's corruption and violence. I'm going to wipe them all out. You got 120 years to build a boat that I might save some. And you'll remember that Noah, it says here in the text, through fear, built that boat because he was afraid of what God was going to do. And so that moved him to build the ark and to save not only, well, just eight people, himself and his family, and two of every kind of animal and a few extras for sacrifice when they came off. But then, so Noah's a good example of being afraid of what God was going to do, going to destroy the world. But then there are other circumstances that cause us to be afraid in life and fearful that are legitimately fearful situations. And we've talked about some of them earlier, but war would be a legitimate fear, being afraid of war and the death and destruction and the battles, fear of enemies, fear of bullies. You ever had bullies in your life when you were growing up? I've had one guy and a group of his friends when I was in, I think it was grade 8, and they were always after me and doing dumb stuff and knocking books out of my hand and putting me in a chokehold, and all because I was interested in the girl that he liked at school. I even forget what her name was, grade 8. That was in Toronto. That was a long time ago. But we've all had bullies in our lives, and sometimes they can be, we can be afraid of them. Loss of a job, loss of income can cause some fear. Surgery could be fearful. Driving in a snowstorm, going to court, even flying. Some people can be afraid of flying. So there's legitimate things that we need to be fearful of, and the Lord can help us, and we'll see that in a moment. In those cases, what can we do when we are afraid? Well, here we are in Psalm 56, if you still have your Bibles open. And this psalm can help us with an answer. And the answer, I believe, is found in verse 3 and 4. Which says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Gives great assurance to even our hearts, as David found that assurance and help for the fear that he was facing. In fact, it's such a good verse, I want us all to repeat it here this morning. Verse 3 and verse 4. Say it together with me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. This psalm, of course, as you can see in the title, was penned by David. He was being harassed by his enemies, particularly the Philistines in that day. And you can look at verse 1 and 2 to get an idea of what of his fearfulness of the enemy. 5 and 6 also talk about the enemies that of which he was very afraid. So for David, the threat of death was very real. The face of fear was fully felt. But David determined at the time that he was afraid that he would do something. He would do something. He said, I will trust in thee. I will praise his word. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In fact, that was so much out of his heart and his determination that he repeats it down in verses 9 to 11, where he says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. It's a great statement. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And the repetition of that in this one psalm shows us the seriousness and the commitment that David has to trusting in the Lord through his fear. The answer to fearful circumstances is trust in the Lord. And what do you know about the word Lord? It's all capital letters, which is the Hebrew word Jehovah. Very good. The Hebrew word Jehovah. In our King James Bible, every time you read Lord, all capital letters, that is the Hebrew word Jehovah. And so the answer to fearful circumstances is to trust in the Lord, but also to praise the Lord. And thirdly, to determine to act on one's faith. And we'll take just a few moments to think about those three things. To trust in the Lord is to commit one's whole life and circumstance to the keeping of God. The Lord God knows what's going on in our lives. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what things that you are fearful of and what you are facing. He knows also how best to deal with those things in our lives for our good and for His glory. And so we trust the Lord to do that which is His will to do in our lives and through perhaps difficult circumstances. To trust is to rest in the Lord. And He is well able to care for each one of us today, no matter what the circumstances may be. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him." Why? "For He careth for you." Right? So the key here for Peter was, first of all, to humble ourselves. Basically, to humble ourselves here is to bow before the Lord, kind of take our hands off the situation and are trying to figure it all out and thinking that we can do this. No, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He knows what's going on. He'll take care of it. Cast all your cares upon Him and let it be with Him. So to trust is to simply cast yourself upon the omnipotent God and leave the situation in His hand. That's hard for us to do, isn't it? Because somehow we think we got to do something to alleviate the fear and the troubles and stuff. And if we could only learn to be like Israel and to go forward, trust the Lord to open the way without any of their involvement in all of that, other than Moses putting his rod out over the water, people just went across on dry land because of what God did. And so to trust the Lord is to simply cast yourself upon the omnipotent God and leave the situation to Him. In fearful circumstances, we need to turn to the Lord and to trust Him. Especially as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that ought to be the first thing that we do. Instead of, complaining to the neighbor or trying to find help from somebody else, the first thing we ought to do is turn to the Lord and trust Him in the situation. It's really the picture of a small child running into his father's outstretched arms when something has frightened him and burying himself in his father's embrace. That's the kind of picture that trust is. In our Heavenly Father's strong hand, there is peace from the fear, security from the enemy, and safety from the cause of the fear. And so trust in the Lord. That's the basic bottom line, if you want. Facing fear, just trust the Lord. He knows what it is, and He can help get through it. The other thing that David did was to praise the Lord, to praise the Word of God. Did you notice that in verse 4? He says, "In God I will praise His Word. In God have I put my trust." That's an interesting idea here, to praise the Word of God. In God I will praise His Word. When fearful times come, try praising the Lord instead of fearing what circumstances may be. There's always something we can find in circumstances to praise the Lord about. But the other thing is, get into His Word, right? to praise the Lord, praise His Word. Fill your thinking with the Word of God, and soon your fear will subside, I believe, and the Scriptures tell us. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You want to know which way to go, what direction to move in? Then seek out the Lord's word, because the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 114 says, "Thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word." It's probably not the first thing that we would think of if we're fearing a situation about getting into the Word and praising God for giving us His Word, but that's an answer to how we can deal with the fear in our lives. We trust in the Lord, but then we also want to praise Him through His Word. Psalm 119, 116 and 17 says, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." And statutes there is also the word of God that He has given. So there's a wonderful verse there for hope and trust in the Lord. Finally, in in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, perhaps you have those verses memorized. "Be careful for nothing," that is, don't worry about anything, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." To overcome fear, then, praise the Lord, praise His word, as His truth permeates your heart, your mind, and your soul. Get into the word of God and let the word of God get into you. And that will help to alleviate the fears. It might not take away the situation, but it will help to alleviate the fear of it, because we know God is going to work on our behalf. And then David said, "I will not fear what flesh or man can do unto me." He had a determination to act on his faith and trust in the Lord. It wasn't just words coming out of his mouth. It was in the words coming out, but in a manner that he was going to use them to affect his determination to act on his faith and trust in the Lord. Can you imagine somebody saying, "Oh, I trust the Lord Jesus in this fearful situation," but then they continue on in fear and worry? You're probably saying, I can imagine that, because that's what I do. You know, I praise the Lord and ask Him about this difficult situation, and then I lay it with Him, and then the next thing I know, I'm still worrying and fearful of it. I want to encourage all of us to determine to not fear while we trust the Lord to work in whatever fearful thing we might feel. I know it's easier to say something than to actually do something, but if we really do trust the Lord, then we really should stop fretting about it. Right? And again, that's an easy thing to say, not so easy to do that. And we ought not to be pointing fingers at anybody who does that, who says, you know, I'm in a situation, I prayed in the Lord, but I'm still worried. Don't be pointing fingers at them, because you got three pointing back at you, right? And we're all in this kind of thing together as human beings living on the planet Earth, still in our unredeemed bodies, and temptations all around us. There are so many things that can fill us with fear, but we need to learn to trust the Lord, to praise Him in His Word, to get into the Bible and to let it permeate our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our thinking, and then act upon that. David said, "I will not fear what man can do unto me." Now, I would never put anybody down who says that they trust the Lord, but it is evident that they are still fearful and worrisome. We've all been there. But what I would want to do is to encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus, to praise the Lord, and then determine to not fear. Step away from the worry, to focus on the peace of God that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Fear can be so debilitating sometimes, but it doesn't have to be. We can learn what to do in a fearful situation when we are afraid. I think we can help ourselves to deal with it and to overcome the fear as God works on our behalf to deal with whatever that situation is. So what to do when you are afraid? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord Jesus. His promise is to never leave us nor forsake us. And like David said here in verse 9, he says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." And as his children, he's for us and will work. We just need to trust him during the difficult situation. So trust the Lord, praise the Lord and his word, and determine to leave it with the Lord and not fear any more about it. May the Lord help us all to do just this when difficult circumstances come across our lives. And they will. They will. But we need to know how to deal with that. And so let me encourage you to memorize Psalm 56, verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." There will be a test to see how well you memorize that verse and put it into action in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for just a brief and a very cursive look at what fear is all about and the situations that can come into our lives to bring that about. We thank you for the answer that has come through David in this Psalm 56, that we need simply to trust you, to praise you in and through your word, and then determine within that, within our faith, to not fear the situation we're in. We know that you can help us because you are for us. We know that the Lord Jesus promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We have the Spirit of God who indwells our very body and can give us the strength through himself to be able to deal with the fearful things. And I pray that as we have learned this morning, some help for the fear that we face in our lives, that you will indeed work that into our very thinking, into our hearts, our minds, our souls, and that we will be able to see you do some great work, not only in the circumstance, but also in our hearts and lives as well. We want to give you praise and glory for your care of us. We thank you that we can trust you in any situation and circumstance, and I pray that we will learn to do that early on when fearful things come, that we won't just look for some other answers to our troubles, but that we would first of all trust you, turn to you and trust you, get into your word and determine not to fear. I pray that the few thoughts that we've shared this morning will be helpful for us. And once again, I pray that Psalm 56, verse 3 might be a steady verse of scripture for us, a good principle that what time we are afraid, we will trust in thee. Bless your word and these few thoughts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.